Hi there. Welcome back. Today, we are talking a little bit about the Paycheck Protection Program, just a little bit about the stimulus checks, and then a whole lot about Tiger King, because I want to talk about the legal stuff in Tiger King, not just the tea. There is so much legal shit in that show. And today, I'm going to break it down. So let's get into it. Hey there, this is Get Legit Law and Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit, and we're going to talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started. Before we even talk about the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, I want to tell you how grateful and thankful I am for you, for all of you that have reached out and either thanked me for the show, said things about the show, given feedback that it's been helpful. It's a weird time right now. So knowing that content that I'm putting out is helpful to you just fills me up and is the reason that I do this. And it shows we are almost at 10,000 downloads for the podcast, and I am beyond thrilled. It has just grown beyond what I expected it to do. So keep sharing it, keep getting the information to the people that need it or just need a laugh. And with that, let's talk about the stimulus checks a little bit. I listened back to last week's episode and realized that as I was explaining the stimulus checks and talking about them being payday advances, because I still feel like they are, I could have explained better the stimulus checks. They are forwards on next year's tax return because there is a new credit. And that is the part that I did not break down for you. They wrote this credit into law to add to what you would get. So what you would normally get next year is increased, and you get the forward, the advance on next year's tax credit this year. So normally you wouldn't get a 2020 tax rebate until 2021. So they're taking that tax credit and shoving it forward and sending it out in the way of stimulus checks. And then when you do your taxes for 2020, the accountants are going to have to parse that all on the back end. And if you're entitled to a refund, you'll receive the difference from the tax credit to what other refund you may be entitled to after the tax credit is accounted for. I just wanted to make sure that that was clear, because when I listen back, I'm like, Emily, girl, you could have explained that a little bit better. The point is made that this is a forward on money from next year, but I don't think the point is made that it's a tax credit that is being put into the stimulus checks. So there's that. Also, the Paycheck Protection Program that was passed under the CARES Act is now open for applications. If you are a small business owner or know a small business owner, including independent contractors, the self-employed, who might need help in that way, I broke it all down into a guide now that we have the final, hopefully the final, guidance out on this from the SBA. The link is in the show notes, emilydbaker.com/theppp, and that'll get you to my resource on it. Also on my coronavirus resources page on my website, link is in the show notes. You can find all of the Facebook Live videos I've done on this, all of the blog posts, any of the other episodes of this show, so that if you need to break down what the best option is for you, you can find all of those free resources from me to help you, because I really do believe we are all in this together. And in this together means all of us are doing like one of two things. We're either watching Tiger King. Well, most of us, I think, are done with Tiger King at this point. And we've moved on to playing Animal Crossing. I mean, those are the two things we're doing, right? I mean, just me. Maybe it's just me. Look, it's getting punchy around here. I am going into the fourth week of this in California, the fourth week of my kids not being at school, being locked down. We're now being told to not even go to the grocery store, to be super, super cautious for the next 2 weeks when going out. They've closed the beaches and the hiking trails and all the outdoor spaces and the parks. And I understand, but my kids also know it's their spring break. I was hoping they would forget, but their friends have told them. So they're like, it's spring break. Can't we just sit in our pajamas and play video games all day? I'm like, no, mom still has to work. And I want to sit in my pajamas and play video games all day. And I can't. I mean, I guess I could, but then the show wouldn't get done and my work wouldn't get done. But I kind of want to. So we're going into the fourth week. It's getting a little bit punchy, which is why I think Tiger King took off the way that it did. If you haven't watched it yet, there will be spoilers. So if you don't want spoilers, just now's the time to listen to an old episode because I am going to talk about all the things. And if you haven't watched it, some of this might be news to you. So go watch Tiger King if you haven't already. It's a fantastic train wreck. Or just listen to me describe the legal shit that happened because I'm fascinated. And as I kept watching this series, I was like, oh my God, I have to talk about that. Oh my God, the trademark lawsuit. Oh my God, the criminal stuff. I'm like, it's all of the worlds that I love, legally, not big cat breeding wise, but all the legal stuff that I like to talk about. You guys know I like talking about trademarks and copyright. It's a lot of what I do in my work as an attorney that specializes in online business. But I also was a district attorney. So when we get into murder for hire and did Carol Baskin kill her husband, I want to talk about that too. So here we go. Joe Exotic, currently sitting in prison for 22 years. We're going to talk about that case first. The thing I'm not going to cover a lot is the potential issues with campaign finance. Did Joe Exotic fund his own campaign by pulling money out of his, you know, private zoo? It looks like he did. There isn't a ton of information in the show about it. If he did it that way, it's improper. Look, of all the shit that's going on with this show, campaign finance law, A, is the least interesting to me, and B, is the least explored in the show. But yeah, he probably did do it wrong. And it looks like he probably did do it wrong. And he knows that he did it wrong. And he put his business at risk for just doing whatever he wanted. Because isn't, at the end of the day, Joe Exotic just the most narcissistic person you've seen? Also, not a mental diagnosis. Just drawing a comparison of a personality type who thinks that he can do no wrong and then tells the people around him that they are wrong when they question him. Because, yeah, that's what I watched go down on the Netflix series. And then I went back and read older articles about these lawsuits contemporaneous to when the lawsuits were going on. Either way, went to prison for 22 years on this murder for hire and violations of the Endangered Species Act. That is the basis of a new Joe Exotic lawsuit, by the way. Just hold on. So the murder for hire is what it sounds like. Murder for hire is, did you hire someone with the intention to kill someone else? And was there a substantial act in that conspiracy, as it were? And remember, this was being prosecuted federally because this is involving two different states with actions happening with people across multiple states and potentially action actually happening across multiple states. I imagine that that whole situation was probably pretty terrifying for Carol Baskin. Can you imagine getting a call from the FBI being like, hey, remember that crazy guy you've been fighting with on the internet? He hired someone to kill you, and we think they're on their way to Florida, except then they got like meth distracted and didn't show up. But I would imagine that would be fairly frightening because I think if you're Carol Baskin, you don't necessarily believe Joe Exotic will actually kill you. Because to me, Joe's like not the guy that's going to pull the trigger. But knowing that he would pay someone to do that, based on all those horrible videos he made about her and just the violence and the rage, if I were Carol Baskin, would totally believe that he would hire someone to kill me. I think he said it in a number of those videos as well. Those videos, by the way, you know, played a substantial part in that trial. And I would imagine it would be very hard for a jury to walk away from that level of exhibited violence on video saying, no, he wouldn't have hired someone to kill her. He talks about killing her all the time on the internet. So even if he was set up by Jeff to have his you know, his, I wanted to say Jim, his zoo stolen. And they did, you know, Jeff's kind of right-hand guy did perhaps lie about the $3,000. Did he? Did he not? I don't know. There's two different versions of that story. Even if those things were planted, all of the video makes it really hard for the average person to walk away and say, I don't believe this. Especially when an AUSA prosecutor is standing up there going, this is what happened. Those videos make it very hard to turn a blind eye on the fact that he clearly harbored hatred towards Carol Baskin and said multiple times that he wanted her to die and played out like shooting an effigy of her in the head and all of the other violent and horrible and sexually assaultive type things that he did to, you know, effigies of Carol Baskin over, you know, the years that he was talking shit about her on the internet. So he dug that grave. Did he actually hire someone to kill her? I don't know. I don't know if there's a difference between his talk. I don't know if he actually paid that individual or if that was set up. I don't know. But when you take all those circumstances together, plus his own words, it's going to be very hard for a jury to look away from that. And then you add the tiger killing on top of it. So they dug up tigers that he had euthanized on his property, which is illegal under the Endangered Species Act. So they added all those too. So now you've got somebody who has or is being shown to in court murder tigers, and you're saying that he hired someone to murder a woman who he says he wants dead to everyone who will listen and depicts killing on the internet. It's really hard for a jury, once again, to not convict on that. Does the Netflix documentary make you feel bad for Joe Exotic in that circumstance? Did you watch that and go, wow, maybe he was framed? Interesting, isn't it, that a lot of us felt that way about Joe Exotic, but when it comes to Carol Baskin, we're like, that bitch killed her husband. Isn't it funny how the show winds us through those feelings? And maybe you didn't have them and you were like, look, Carol is just trying to live her best. And this guy's railing about her on the internet, and no one should do the things that he's doing, which, by the way, I agree with. However, the way that that series was put together left me feeling like Joe had completely unraveled and that the people around him had taken advantage of him. And I also walked away feeling like, if I hear, hey, cool cats and kittens, I'm going to want to punch somebody in the face, because I also walked away feeling like Carol Baskin was a dick. So yet it's interesting to me that in all of the lawsuits and the criminal case, Carol Baskin is the victim in those things. If somebody was doing what Joe Exotic was doing to her, to one of your friends, you would be fucking outraged. You would be like, how dare you pretend to murder someone on the internet? How dare you take a blow up doll of them and stick dildos in its mouth? How dare you blow it up with TNT? Yet somehow in the Netflix documentary, you're like, yeah, but maybe she killed her husband. It's so fascinating to me how the dialogue changed in Tiger King around this murder for hire plot. Because you could tell this story differently and be like, oh my God, how did Carol Baskin live through this? Joe's crazy. But instead, a lot of us are left with the, you know what, Carol Baskin? You shook the fucking hornet's nest and you knew that Joe was crazy. But Carol's also a little crazy, obviously. And the narrative about her killing her husband is so interesting to me. There's a part in the show where Joe gets attacked in a tiger enclosure by one of his own tigers and shoots the tiger to get the tiger off of him. And it's like dragging him away by the shoe. And he's arguing that somebody put pheromones or whatever it was on his shoe to get the tiger, to induce the tiger to attack him. And when they asked Carol Baskin about it, she said something to the effect of, oh no, I mean, perfume wouldn't work. Cats don't like the smell of perfume. If you want to get a tiger to eat someone, You need to cover them in something the tigers want, like sardine oil. That's awfully specific, Carol. That is awfully specific, because it doesn't sound to me like that's what you're doing to get these tigers to take their medication. It sounds to me like maybe you have experience with getting tigers to eat someone, Carol Baskin. I'm just saying. And isn't it more fun to speculate about whether Carol Baskin killed her husband than whether Joe Exotic is actually a misogynistic asshole who really did hire someone to murder her? Because it's just so freaking dark. The whole thing. I mean, from his husband who committed suicide to all of it. It's just, it's dark and it's fascinating. And he's sitting in prison for 22 years from where he filed a lawsuit against the U.S. government for $94 million. Now, remember, Joe just went to prison in the end of 2019. Like, this is fairly new that this conviction for the murder for hire happened. So we are fairly contemporaneous right now. And this lawsuit, Joe versus the federal government, I almost said Joe versus the volcano, the Joe versus the federal government was just filed in 2020. So Joe versus the U.S. Department of Interior and the U.S. General Wildlife Service for $94 million. Joe is alleging that those departments added generic tiger to the endangered species list just to fuck with him. I mean, that's not the exact words in the lawsuit. I'm paraphrasing. I'm just going to note now, because Google, that tigers have been on the endangered species list since 1975. Because I was like, haven't tigers been on the endangered species list since I was like in elementary school at a minimum? Because didn't we learn about that? Yeah, Joe probably should have Googled before filing this lawsuit, but whatevs. He's also claiming that former colleagues planted evidence against him contributing to the death of his mother. I'm imagining that that goes something like, this case caused so much duress that my mother could not stand up to this, to the duress and stress of this, and that caused her to die. And that the prosecutors, or that the U.S. General Wildlife Service and Department of the Interior, were so harassing him and his family regarding the underlying lawsuit, the murder for hire and the, you know, violations of the Endangered Species Act, that contributed to the death of his mother. So that's going to be something that I'll be tracking, because I'm fascinated to see what a judge does with Joe Exotic's $94 million lawsuit. And also, if he's working now with the U.S. Attorney's Office to dime out every other person that he's ever had contact with, because I imagine that that's what's happening. Let's talk trademarks. The trademark lawsuit played a fairly substantial role in my mind in Tiger King, but I'm also a giant nerd. So when things like this happen, I perk up and I'm like, ooh, look at this. Look, we've got trademark and copyright all happening together. In 2011, Big Cat Rescue, Carol Baskin's Florida-based rescue operation, filed suit against Big Cat Rescue Entertainment. Big Cat Rescue Entertainment was created by Joe Exotic, and then he put his Wynnewood Zoo under Big Cat Rescue Entertainment. The backstory on that, to me, is important. And what I see of this trademark lawsuit is that Carol was talking shit about Joe and trying to shut down his ability to go to malls and do this like traveling magic slash tiger show that seemed to be really, really lucrative for his business. I don't even know the name of the company the business was under at that time, and I didn't Google it. But he, at the time, was doing a lot of that traveling, and they addressed in the show how much money he was making from that, and it seemed to be the substantial amount of money that the business was bringing in were these traveling shows, exhibits that they would do at malls and stuff like that. Well, Carol, who has a very large social media presence and is an animal activist trying to shut down this kind of bullshit, got her fans and followers to start campaigns against Joe Exotic doing these kinds of shows. So shutting down these meet and greets, if you will, with Tiger Cubs and magic tricks. I'm sure that the Tiger Cubs were the largest part of that attraction. So his income and business suffered because of her letter writing campaign. And you've got to remember that the cub petting that Carol Baskin says is animal abuse is not specifically illegal. So while it may or may not be distasteful, it is not illegal. And while it may or may not be harmful for the animals, it's not illegal. So Carol started interfering with Joe Exotic's business based on her personal belief that it was immoral. I feel like this is not too dissimilar to animal rights activists trying to like shut down restaurants that serve meat or something because they believe that it's unethical. Look, man, these are personal choices. And right now, what Joe's doing is not illegal. So she used her influence to interfere with his finances. And that seemed to me to be the tipping point of him losing his shit over all of this. And so instead of suing her for interference in business relationships, which is probably what he should have done, but does Joe Exotic seem like the guy who's going to call his lawyer first? Nope. Joe Exotic's going to show up at his lawyer and be like, hey, I did some shit. Can you fix it? He is not going to ask permission. He is going to say, fix it. He's not even going to ask forgiveness. Let's be honest. He's just going to be like, handle it, whatever. So Joe decided to fuck with Carol in response and formed Big Cat Rescue Entertainment to try to use the algorithms on Google to get his stuff to come up before Carol's stuff. And then he started like some animal abuse 911.com or something to tell on her too. And when he started Big Cat Rescue Entertainment, he used a substantially similar logo to Big Cat Rescue. Well, Big Cat Rescue's shit is all trademarked, right? So can you do that? Nope. Not if it's trademarked. Joe's defense, of course, is that it's not a valid trademark. It's generic and it doesn't have the capacity to function as a source identifier or achieve secondary meaning, and it's merely descriptive. These are all things that are considered in trademark law when you're looking at a trademark. Something like Coca-Cola is easily identified as a red canned soda drink that's delicious and far superior to a soda drink that is in a blue can. So you know when you look at it that it's a Coke. Even if it's not written on the bottle in English, you still know it's a Coke. That's the kind of stuff trademark is for. Trademark is to make sure that you as a consumer aren't confused about where something is coming from, a product, a good, even a service, where it's coming from. So it identifies the provider or the company. Joe was trying to create confusion because he was pissed off, which is exactly what trademark is supposed to stop somebody from doing. The thing about Joe is that he went ahead and just said that. He said it. Joe said that he was creating the brand to be confusingly similar, essentially, that he wanted it to be confused and for him to start rising above her on Google. And then he also said in a 2013 article, by the way, the article noted that he had cameras following him around at that point. It was an article in the Oklahoman that I'm going to link in the show notes. But he said, I'm going Hollywood. They made me a star. He also said that it's funny. I mean, with all the negative energy they focused on me, they made me famous. I imagine that it fries Joe's ass that at the peak of this Netflix infamy, he is sitting in jail. Well, technically prison. But I mean, come on. He wanted this kind of fame and attention. He wanted this spotlight on his face. And now it's happening and he can't properly enjoy it because I don't think Joe gives a shit if it's fame or infamy at all. So there's more to this trademark lawsuit. There is the fact that he just straight up admitted it before the suit even happened. But after the trademark suit was filed, Big Cat Rescue filed copyright infringement suits. And she filed, she being Carol Baskin, though Big Cat Rescue is you know, a company, not a she, but whatever. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Stick with me, people. Filed two copyright infringement lawsuits after the trademark infringement lawsuit, saying that Joe was using copyright protected photos on YouTube. And Joe was arguing in the Netflix documentary that he used them on YouTube, and then Carol went out and copyrighted them after the fact. But it doesn't change the fact, Joe, that you're using photos without permission. And Carol registered the copyright on them. The copyright is in the photos. It belongs to the person who took the photos when they took them. The fact that she registered it just meant that she could bring the lawsuit. And Carol, in this, was rattling the hornet's nest because she started the letter writing campaign that did take away the money from his business venture, right? The letter writing and the getting the fans to get malls and what have you to stop having him on is what made a big dent in his pocket. And that's when he started ranting against her on the internet that led up to her needing to file these suits, shaking the hornet's nest. However, I think she likes the fight. What do you think? Do you think Carol Baskin likes the fight with Joe Exotic? Do you think this makes her feel productive? Like, I am fighting the wrong that's being done in the world because I am trying to take down this one human. And the human that she's messing with is a gay, narcissistic redneck with a whole lot of guns, a mullet, and a really shady eyebrow ring that makes fantastic television. But she stirred up that hornet's nest when she hit his income. If they had just been protesting and outside of his location, I don't think it would have had nearly the same impact on him as going after the money. But she sees the behavior as being cruel. And so she was going to try to shut it down using all the influence she had. And Joe came back. And at the end of the day, sometimes when you fight with crazy, nothing good happens. Joe said in multiple news articles after he lost the trademark suit, so they squished all the suits together, the trademark and copyright, and the court ordered $1 million settlement to Big Cat Rescue from Joe Exotic and whatever company he was operating under at the time. And Joe was like, I'll just file bankruptcy with that company. I don't care. I'm not paying her $1 million. I'm not giving her my zoo and I'm not giving her my animals, which then led to the prolonged circumstance of lawyers trying to get money out of Joe Exotic for this $1 million lawsuit, which led to him then finding the business partner, right? So he's gone through years of fighting with her and then is finding the business partner. And of course, everything he says is, you know, kill Carol Baskin. I hate Carol Baskin, this Carol Baskin woman. So that ended up being the downfall. Did Carol Baskin win in this situation? I want to know what you guys think, because I think no one wins in all of this. And when I have clients on the cusp of litigation, one of the conversations we have is, remember, oftentimes with litigation, no one wins, even if you're right. And it very much can feel that way when you are dealing with civil litigation, especially if the other party is crazy. Because you can fight with crazy all day long, but even if a judge says, you're wrong, they're like, I don't care, you're wrong. Like, that's exactly how Joe behaved in all of these news articles. It's like, that's fine. She can't stop me. I'm not wrong. I didn't think I can use whatever I want. I'm not paying that $1 million. I'll just go bankrupt. So he was never going to stop. And now he's in prison. And apparently there's going to be a follow-up episode. So if you are in the Facebook community, I will be talking about the follow-up episode to Tiger King there when it's released. I'm hearing rumblings that that could be as soon as next week. Holy shit, I'm excited. But for now, I need to go play Animal Crossing. If you are in the Facebook group and you are playing Animal Crossing, I will friend you. So go ahead and let me know what your friend code is. And I got you. We'll visit each other's islands. It's going to be amazing. I hope this finds you well. And by way of my COVID sign-off, which we are going to do on everything I sign off from until we are done, may your Wi-Fi be strong. May your toilet paper be plentiful. May your family be well. And may the odds be ever in your favor. Thank you so much for listening. I know what it's like to find a podcast you connect with, and then you want to talk about it, and you want to talk about the things you've heard, and you want to chat with other people and hear their opinion. And sometimes that's not the people that are around you. I mean, you can always tell them to listen. But I've created a community for us to keep those conversations going, for me to answer your questions, and to share some behind the scenes and exclusive content, and maybe some deeper takes on the stories as we talk about them. So if you want to join that conversation with the Get Legit community, come on over to www.getlegitlive. I'd love to see you there. So come on by, say hello, and join the conversation.